You know, I'm really glad that Brother Randy said what he did about shaking things up. John said, and he gave us grace for grace and grace for grace. God gave us grace to save us eternally. And he also gave us grace to save ourselves from this untoward generation. There's something missing. Our churches are dwindling. They're going down. We've tried to convert others, tried to grow from the outside. And the way a family grows is from the inside. The way a church will grow is from the inside. Save the children. That's what I'm saying. Save the children. Brainwash them. Convince them. We fought each other. I can't preach with him. He preached with the preacher that preached with the preacher. We fought Arminians. An Arminian is somebody from Arminia. I don't know what other people believe. That's their business. I'm not at war with them. I'm at war with me. There's just something missing. We've positioned ourselves in real narrow straits. And I'm sure that I'll have more enemies than friends when this is over. We got people that believe that Wednesday night Bible study taught by the pastor of the church is equal to Sunday school, taught by unqualified people. To me, that's hogwash. If the Lord will, I'm. Let's read a little. I mean, you're always right if you're reading. Matthew chapter 7. How about that? Matthew chapter 7, verse 14. I'll start in at 13th verse. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate. S-T-R-A-I-T. That's difficult. To enter into the gates of God and to labor in this vineyard. It'd be a little bit difficult for us. Matthew says, enter in. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. It's talking about the abundant life. There's few that find the abundant life in this life because we're striving for the wealthy life. The abundant life is the contented life, is the life of being happy and content in the state that you're in.
Amen, brother. That's right.
And we need to enter into that gate and labor in that gate and broaden our horizons. Preach the entirety of the gospel. Romans 10. Romans 10, 1 through 3. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He's talking about spiritual Israel. I understand. He's talking about spiritual Israel. He's talking about Point Loma Primitive Baptist Church. He's talking about this church in Oklahoma City. He's talking about your church wherever you are. My sincere prayer to God for that church, your church, our church, is that you might be saved. He's certainly not talking about, not worried about your eternal destiny, but he's talking about being saved from the ups and downs, the bumps and grinds of this world. He's talking about the problems that arise to be saved from them. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. That's where we come in. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about and to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Amen. It's a state of affairs at best. It's a situation difficult that we face. But we are facing difficulties. I just want you to sometime get one of, I think 07 was the last church directory that Elder Bradley put out. I want you to get one of them. And I want you to go down and look through it. And I want you to find out how many is not there anymore. How many are gone? Non-existent. There's no honor in dead. There's no glory in dead churches. Live and vibrant churches, active in the community, known in the community as aggressive, God-fearing, God-loving, moral people, is a light in that community.
Amen. That's right.
Amen, brother.
We had a sister went on vacation over in East Tennessee, as a matter of fact. And they got to hunting around, and they had some sort of direction to a Primitive Baptist church. They worked their way around up a little two-lane road, and then they got up to a sign that pointed up a hill, and there was a sign at the bottom that said, "Do not enter." With my hand up. Jerry Clower? Was that Jerry Clower? Am I the only one that's old enough to remember Jerry Clower? Whoo! Merciful heavens. Well, we need to have an objective. We need to have an objective. Point removed, Primitive Baptist Church needs to have an objective. I can only speak for us. And I assume that it would fit your case too. And we do believe in the so-called 5 points of Calvinism. I call them 5 points of grace. We're not Calvinists, and you're not either. But that's neither here nor there. That's another subject. We need to have an objective. Objective is... Let me read you a definition. Objective is something toward which effort is directed or aim. It's a goal. It's a purpose. It's a purpose achieved by military action. We need to have an objective out here. What is our objective? The days of the great debates... 100 years ago or so, was the beginning of a steep decline, downfall in the Lord's churches. In the days of the great debates, when we get out here and challenge other folks are free and willing and have my permission and should have yours to worship how they see fit. And if we want to have some in-home discussions, fine. public debates.
You can have a public debate, and this side over here will claim victory. This side over here will claim victory. And everybody else will say, they're both nuts. Nothing is accomplished from that. But our objective should be outreach. We should reach out in love and kindness, gently leading, not argumentative. Oh, so many things, so many thought memories of mistakes. Somebody would, I've had people to come up and say something that, and it would be just a little bit, and I would immediately jump in there. No, that's not the way it is. Rather than saying, you know, you've got an interesting point there. Let's examine that and view that. Perhaps we could come, the objective would be to come to an agreement on what the truth is. Do you suppose it would just be outlandish to think that we could learn something? Maybe if we discuss something, we would learn something. At least we might learn how to present our case better. Even if we're right, we might need to present our case better. Does this make sense? Is there something missing? It seems to me we need to have a purpose, determination. Need to have an interest. We claim to be orthodox. Orthodox, let me give you a definition of orthodox. Conforming to established doctrine, especially in religion. And it's not orthodox to be dead. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 7. Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me food convenient for me. Here's the reason. Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of the Lord in vain. Well, orthodox? Isaiah 30.
I meant to tell Brother Allen the reason I have trouble finding directions and so forth. When I go anywhere, I don't ever expect to be invited back, so I don't pay attention to where I've been. I sure didn't have trouble getting back. Verse 13. Therefore, this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out of the high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. And he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of the shred, and take fire from the hearth, or to take water withal out of the pit. It's, well, that's too much time. I wasted time there. I've got to hurry now. I've got some. The last part here, winding up, New Testament, the Church of Christ has been given a workable program. Of all of the other things that we've
pointed out all the other things we talked about, the objections we ought to have, the motives we ought to have, the methods we ought to use, the systems we ought to put in place, the system we ought to take out of place, all of the things that we need to obtain our objective. There is a workable plan been given to us by inspired writers of the New Testament. And you don't have to, in all of this, we still hold to the truths of the fact that God is a discriminating God. God is a discriminating God. He chooses whom He pleases. He builds up and He tears down as He pleases. And He's never, ever wrong.
Amen, brother.
Never has asked counsel of any of us. And the church has been given a workable. It don't have to be added to. It don't have to be apologized for. But the system that has been given the church is a workable system that will accomplish the objectives that we ought to have. Does this make any sense at all? Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Where's the beginning of our successful pursuit of our objective? Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now he's not talking to some he's not talking to some drunkard. He's not talking to some group of dastardly deeds of devout sinners. Change your mind about your religion. He was telling the Jews, you had the law. The law was good. It served a purpose. It was yours. Change your mind. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." That's the beginning of our objective. Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" You might get that question around, you know. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, others Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith, "But whom do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Christ, the anointed. Thou art the anointed. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's essential in everything that we do to accomplish our objective. Thou art the Christ. Thou art the anointed by God the Father to save sinners and set the example and lead us and teach us thy ways. Romans 13. Objectives. Set goals, set your goals high. Don't you think we need
set your goals high and aim for them and labor for them. Work at it. Romans 13, verse 8. Start at 7. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not, if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in the saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love. Love is the fulfilling of the law. That to me, I have no definition. You can get you a good Oxford English Dictionary and look up that word, and it'll have a list of long list of words. And you'll find out if you get a good Oxford English Dictionary that they don't like what we've done. The English people don't like what we've done to their language. When you look up the word love, and it'll even go to tell you that it means how to keep tennis score. A lot of other things about describing definition of love. And then it will say, often used in the U.S. as a vulgarism to mean like. Have you ever heard that? Oh, I just loved your dress. You heard that? Well, they mean I like your dress. Anyway, our objective is to reach our objective, labor in the vineyard, do all the things that we're commanded to do, do everything that we possibly can do, serve our neighbor, love our neighbor, and all of it. I think the success or the failure of it, for the most part, will wind up as far as our realization of our efforts will wind up in our motive, which is love. If it's love, if our motive is out of love, then we will feel and have realize that we're obtaining our objective. But if we do it out of pride or popularity, then I think it will fail and sink and we'll come up lacking. I hope that makes sense. I do believe, I desperately believe that we need, at our church in Russellville, Arkansas, we need an objective. We need a passion for our objective. And we need to do it because of our love for our brethren in our community and in our neighborhoods. I want to go to one more, two more, maybe. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Then maybe in Acts, if I... 2 Timothy chapter 4. Take it one at a time. I'm talking to myself now. Take it one at a time. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who also judged the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. That's a pretty good objective, isn't it? Timothy,
It's pretty simple.
You've got an objective.
Preach the word.
The instant in season and out of season. You know what I think that means? I think, Timothy, any time you get an opportunity to preach the word of God, if it's a 5-minute opportunity at sitting around a coffee table in somebody's house, you preach the word to them. If you meet somebody on the street and you get the vision, if you have an opportunity, turn the conversation away from politics and get it to Scripture, and out of love of your heart and compassion for them, teach them God's Word in love. That should be our objective. The instant in season. Be ready at any time. Just if you get a 2-minute opportunity, use it. If you get 5 minutes, use it.
I'm going to show my ignorance here. Well, I've already have, but I'll show it again. Reprove, rebuke. Rebuke.
You have to be pretty bold to do that. Timothy, you're going to have, when you preach, there's going to be times you're going to have to rebuke your congregation. If they're slack,
my wife's here and she can tell you that there's folks in our congregation that needs rebuking every Sunday.
I'm serious. We got folks, and I can tell you within 3 minutes
of when they'll get to that church.
We have about 25% to 30% of our congregation gets there at 10:30 in time to sing. The rest of them starts dribbling in. Well, they need to be rebuked for that. I don't say the singing. I don't say singing is part of the worship, but I say it's a prelude to it. It's a part of the service overall. I don't know if any of you know Elder H.D. Fulham or not, but he's a rebel.
And I don't mean just from the South either. I mean,
he's rebellious. He turned his service around one day.
He got there at 10:30. They sung one song, and he got up and preached.
Those people came in late.
They came in at his preaching. He preached when he got through, then he had their song service. I don't know if it accomplished his name, but it worked that one time.
Rebuke. The congregation occasionally has to be rebuked. And Avery, I want all of you to know, if your pastor or your preacher or whatever is, if he's pointing his finger at you, he's got 3 pointing back. Well, just remember that and exhort. Once you rebuke, then you can exhort. Encourage. Lift them up.
This, you know,
I hate to rebuke you, but I exhort you. I beg you. I plead with you. I encourage you. Reach for your objective. Fight for your objective. Study how to obtain our objective. We've got places to go, things to do, and people to see. Let's get on it.
Amen. Right, brother. Amen.
I skipped one, reprove, didn't I? Here's where I'm going to show my ignorance again.
That sounds like prove it again, don't it? Huh? Reprove. I went for a long time. I thought that just means prove it again.
I don't blame you for laughing. Here's what it means. To scold
or gently or kindly, with gently or kindly intent. Reprove means to scold gently. Timothy, these folks that you love so dearly, when you get the opportunity to preach to them, there's going to be times that you're going to have to reprove them, and have to rebuke them. And I've scolded them a little. But you want to exhort, to incite or augment or advise, to urge strongly. How do you do it, Timothy? With all long suffering and doctrine. You never, ever let the doctrine get away, because it changes the entire meaning of everything you've done. Your objective is for all the wrong motives if your doctrinal principles are out of whack. And I say that there is no honor in dead churches. When that 07 directory came out of Brother Bradley's, there was 42 churches in Arkansas. Last I looked, there might be 7 or 8 that I'd call healthy. Every church that all of their membership is drawing Social Security is in their last generation. Is that right? Would that not have to be right? Is it hopeless? Long as God's on the throne and he lets this world turn, it's not hopeless. But unless we that are alive and remain get an objective, seek that objective in God's way for the right motive out of love, we'll continue to have something missing. And I know this is a roaring upbeat, and I'm sorry, but that's all I had. Oh, I had lots of subjects. I had several subjects. I went over 3 or 4 this morning. Some last night. My favorite subject to talk about lately is this, we're in the last days. That's my favorite subject. I like to talk about it. It started, Joel prophesied about it, and Peter said this is it on the day of Pentecost, the last days, and there won't be any last days after the last day. I like to talk about that. Somehow, the Lord wouldn't allow it, and I don't offer apologies. I don't guess. Should, maybe. But anyway, thank you for your good attention. Come to see us.